and who apparently were represented by Mr. Plunkett. Let me introduce the people on the panel here. There's Tom Patterson to my far right, Melissa Hartman, my name's Dennis Nelson, this is Peter Von Gunlach, and then at the far end is Michael Norman. The procedure set forth in the agenda, I'm not sure if you've all received that, but we're going to follow that procedure because that's basically what's said in the agenda. Is the representative for, or the Daleys present? And what is your name, sir?
Jeffrey Plunkett.
All right, you're Mr. Plunkett, and I can see that the city is represented. I would add to the procedure that's set forth in the agenda that this is a quasi-judicial proceeding. It's not a trial. It's not an appellate case. But we do have to have the witnesses or who's ever going to be speaking testify or sworn in because it's a public hearing, and if it goes to review before the Superior Court, it needs to be, testimony has to be sworn. The other thing that I would add is I think the board members should feel free to basically ask questions at any time during the proceedings. It would help us out a lot. So with that, we need to have a summarization of the issues and presentation by the city staff. Who's that?
That would be me.
All right.
I'm Teresa Coleman.
All right. Can you tell us what where we are here and what the issue is that we're going to be deciding?
Yes. So the applicants came forward with plans to add a deck to an existing home that was constructed in the 1980s. The design review board asked that they utilize the batten style of railing.
Pickets.
Pickets, thank you. Style of railing in place of the cable railing that was proposed in the application. So the application was approved with that modification. The applicant wishes to utilize the cable style that they feel is more appropriate for their 1980s style home.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. And the presentation by the appellate, Mr. Plunkett, can you come forward? Raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Would you state your name, spell your last name for the record, please?
Jeffrey Plunkett, Plunkett. I live at 51 Wood Canyon,
correct? Very well. Basically, state your case, sir.
Okay. I came in to get this thing processed, the DRB application, and let's see. Line one is a 1988 built home, and my only case is that the DRB guidelines on page 14, I think it is, where it states that, anyways.
15. Page 15.
It's on page 15.
All right. Well, anyways, it states that you can use materials and styles of the era, and that's it. And that was read. I mean, the way I wrote this, it said that they chose to disregard it. No, that actually was read by Ben Lepke, or he summarized that rule, and Mr. Conklin disagreed with it, and he wanted to basically shut me down or have us agree to do what he wanted to do with the homeowner's property. And that's not what they wanted to do, so it was really important to get this permit. So then I had to go out and call them and tell them that their plan has changed. And that's why I'm here now.
Okay. The board have any questions?
Yeah. Ms. Plunkett, are you the homeowner or the contractor?
I'm the caretaker at the home, and so I'm doing work on the house for them.
Okay.
So there's been some talk, is it a wire fence or a...
Yeah, that's my question too. I guess I need a little clarification. Is the issue kind of just one dimensional as to whether it's a picket or the wire fence?
The actual handrail would be just like a regular handrail.
Okay.
And instead of having, you'd have a wire rail system, which is, in this case, a stainless steel cable.
Okay.
And nice and clean looking.
Because this is a second story deck, correct?
Second story deck, yep.
Okay.
And you have the drawing, the original drawing, and it actually has more posts than the original drawing. because I had to get the permit. And so it was within the, you know, the 1988, they had it then. And I didn't think I was going to run into that when I came in here. And we don't feel, the Dailies and I don't feel that any concessions should have to be made when something adheres to the guidelines. And so that's why they're $75 of my time and all of your time. And whatever the city had to do to get this going brought us here.
Was there any other fencing on the property at that time? I realize the deck wasn't there, but... And if so, what kind?
The neighbors have fences out back.
Pardon?
The neighbors have a fence on the side.
And what's it made of?
That's, I think it's wood. I mean, I know it's wood, but I'm trying to think of, I don't know what kind of wood it is. It's a really tall fence.
Other questions?
They're big logs, too.
Yeah, this question for Joe Ward. So Joe, the proposed handrail, the cable rail, any issues in terms of, does it meet the building code requirements in terms of safety?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so there's no...
It's kind of an avant-garde system that's used all over the country.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, get on the record that it's not a structural issue. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's nothing.
And for the record, Joe Ward, you're the building inspector, is that correct?
I am.
One more question. And this property is non-conforming or conforming?
Non-contributing.
I'm sorry, yes, thank you. This is a non-contributing property.
In the backyard.
Well, what was that? Interesting. Is there anything, any further questions from the board?
So the structure's built, the original structure's built 1950?
88.
1988.
1988. Yeah,
1988. Yeah, that's right, it's highlighted, it says 1988.
Further questions?
Yeah, I guess maybe. So, Mr. Plunkett, did the design review board offer any further direction in terms of using vertical pickets, in terms of
basically, I was going to get tabled if I didn't agree. That's why I said I don't think we need to make concessions. The permit couldn't go through until I got this DRB thing process. You know, we came in, we feel it adhered to the guidelines, we're going to say.
Does the house, as it was originally built, did it meet guidelines at that time?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the last part of that?
When the house was originally built, 1988, did it meet the historical guidelines at that time, or was it built as kind of a non-conforming property?
I just know it was a new built home in 1988.
Well, but if it didn't meet historical guidelines, matching the way it was built is just adding insult to injury.
It was basically made totally not like any house around here. Mr. Sky said he'd rather have the house moved to Flagstaff. Is that? Because, you know, that's just his opinion. A lot of people didn't like the house because they didn't think it fit then. So I'm guessing that it was not built to any kind of historical guidelines.
Well, you know, what is the, if they build a house,
I have a picture.
If they make any changes to it, doesn't it have to?
If you'd like to see it, but you have that.
We have it.
But I would think if something was built in non-compliance, if at a later date they wanted to amend or remodel the property, they would no longer be grandfathered in, though.
That's true.
I'm just going by the paragraph I read in the guidelines that said that the one argument that I'm making.
Well, I think that's assuming that the property that's being renovated or remodeled met the guidelines in the first place. If you build a house that doesn't meet the historic guidelines and no one seems to call you on it.
No one did.
Okay. Then it's kind of grandfathered.
Oh, okay, yes.
What will happen then, if you make a change to that house, now all of a sudden you can come up to the standard, have to be brought up to the standards of the historic guidelines again. You know, that's why you don't see him making any changes to Circle K. So we're talking making an adjustment to a non-conforming property.
Well, it's also in that garden. You can't see it from the front, and there's nothing but hills behind it.
Mr. Chair, I think we need to be careful with the words we're using. This isn't a non-conforming property. It met the permit requirements and it was built. It's a non-contributing property because it's not a historic structure in that it was built in 1988, but it's not necessarily a non-conforming use. I'm assuming it had a permit, went through whatever design review process was in place at the time, which...
If any.
Yeah, if any. But it's, I wouldn't use the word non-conforming. It's non-contributing.
That's a good point.
The historic value of it.
Yes, sir.
Peter had a question, too.
I read the material that was sent to me, and it seemed like there was a... The discussion was centered around whether or not the fence should be vertical or horizontal. I mean, and of course, the wired fence, the stainless steel cable fence, would be horizontal, while the people in Design and Review Board objected to the fact that it was horizontal rather than vertical because they talked about buildings or older buildings having 10-foot high ceilings and so forth, and I'm sure this house didn't meet any of those requirements either. To me, my question is, aside from the fact that the guidelines here seem to validate the decision of the current owners, in as much as there would be no reason to add on to an existing building that was contemporary and not at that time, and put a veneer of historicity on an existing building that has nothing to do with this. So, but the main issue I see here is the question of the fact that the general guidelines indicate that that the owner is within a reasonable, following the rules of that particular guideline. Now, if the and I'm just throwing this out as a separate item, if the owner decided instead of having the stainless steel wire horizontal, instead it had it vertical, would that change anything?
We didn't talk about that.
But, I mean,
that would be a lot of work. Yeah. You'd have to, I've never seen them that way. I've only seen them horizontal when I see them.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, again, the argument was horizontal versus vertical because that was the only issue that was really brought up for the discussion that I couldn't understand anyway.
Well, from what I read in the guidelines, when they came up with, because you have a lot of clapboards with pickets.
Right.
This house actually has vertical on the siding,
right.
So that would be opposite. But, it would look, it's going to look better because it's going to have redwood and then it's going to be an awning. And there's going to be a ton of redwood on there, and they're going to have to oil all that redwood, and they wanted to get the lower measures of the wires. And the only part you'd see it, like I was saying, is when you look at the one picture, you'd see the top of the stairwell coming down from the road, and I paced it before I came here. It's about 80 feet from the road. The little bit, you wouldn't even see the wires from that far. You just see through them.
Well, I can understand the reason for a wire as well, but not just aesthetically, because I'm a minimalist in terms of design and construction, so that would be a problem for me personally. But the question that I'm seeing also is that the wire fence permits a much cleaner view of the whole area below. I mean, the less material, doing more with less, to me, would be a much better way of looking at a situation like that.
Yes, and actually, when I came in before, we were willing to make a concession to put the pickets on the staircase, just because even though we didn't feel we needed to make a concession, but we needed to get it through, but that wasn't how it went. It was my way or the highway.
Other questions? Staff have anything they wish to add to the substance of the appeal?
I do not.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Sky, you second
that. Wait.
We need that. Have him sit down, Mr. Sky, come up and be sworn in before he answers your questions. Are you going to be speaking for the DRB?
Sure, I'm okay with that.
Okay, please raise your right hand. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Would you state your name and spell your last name, please?
John Sky, that's S-K-Y.
All right.
I'm currently on the Design Review Board, and I attended the meeting for this.
All right. Well, I noticed that you seconded the motion to approve the application with the deviation to the pickets.
I did.
What was your thinking on that?
We've actually dealt with the vertical wire question numerous times. It seems to be frowned upon because we don't want to set precedents in the historic district, even though I know the house doesn't meet historic guidelines, and I don't know how all that went back then. But as a board, I believe they don't want to start letting some people do it because then the neighbors want to do it. And it's when I read that from the historic guidelines handbook, what he's presented to you, I catch a way different meaning to that. And it says that it's a concern. And you'll see that right in the top line. It says it's a concern. And that's also a concern for us. And we're pretty strict about railings and handrails and actually, we're trying to become more strict on these things. That's why we're about to go through that handbook and then make some changes. Yes, sir.
Well, my question is then, your concern seems to be that this sets a precedence then for other people who have historic buildings that would be putting wire. Well, this was not a historic building. This is a contemporary building. And if they don't qualify as a contemporary building, there's no reason to be concerned about future violations or taking advantage of some sort of ambiguity in this particular guideline, which is obvious to almost anyone who reads it.
Yes. I agree with that, and I know where you're coming from on that. Another reason why it got shut down is because something that we hear a lot is, well, it's on the back side of the house, you can't see it, so we just want to do what we want to do, and this happens with windows and doors and stuff like that. So that's another thing that the board took into consideration that night, and that sets another precedence that we're trying to condemn. And yet, the house, it definitely... If it went through the design review board today, that house would not have been built. So we're not trying to add to that. And I'm not speaking for everybody but me, myself. And I'm trying to stay consistent with what my predecessor had kind of ran me through, Ken Budge, on his thinking of the vertical wire and stuff like that. So.
You mean horizontal?
The horizontal wire, I'm saying.
So, but if it were vertical, it would be okay?
No. I mean, not for me. I would definitely give it a negative vote. The reason for the wire, it's not for visual. It is for visual. So when you're on the porch, you can see
right. When
you're sitting down and you're not looking at pickets. That's the sole reason for it. It's not... granted, it has the added bonus of, you know, you don't have to linseed oil it or Thompson's water seal it or whatever means you use to treat your deck, but...
There were no issues with safety of this, the wire. I want to make sure, did the design review board talk about the safety of this type of fencing at all?
We didn't talk about it. That would be a code issue, and that would be up to Mr. Ward and obviously doing building myself. There's nothing wrong with it as long as you do it every 4 inches so a baby's head can't fit through there and so on and so forth. So I don't think it's a code issue as much as just a precedence issue and trying to remain consistent in what we approve or deny. And that's all.
And I understand that, but that's a tough thing in Bisbee when... This is a perfect example of a non-contributing dwelling. Who knows when it was built, what happened? And again, to kind of go back to what you said, trying to insert and overlay those items over it, that's tough. That's tough. And what I would hate to see is any homeowner that wanted to improve their home be subject to more costs and more things. I want them to follow the rules, don't get me wrong, but
yes,
I don't want it to cost them randomly $10,000 more.
I don't think cost is one of the things that we're supposed to be looking at. If you have a, if you have a house that didn't conform with the neighborhood when it was built.
Yeah.
However it got built, that doesn't mean, okay, we got this house up there, so now we can do anything we want.
Oh, that is not what I said.
Well, but no, I'm saying cost, even if what we require is exorbitant in cost, if it meets the guidelines, that's the way it is. But it seems the argument is this house did, was non-conforming.
Contributing,
whatever, but it didn't conform to the rules. So now, because it didn't conform to the rules then, it doesn't have to conform to the rules now. And you can do anything you want with it. And where would that stop?
Except that I think that we have provisions for exceptions in these rules.
If I might, and that's something, another thing that we run into a lot on the board. It's definitely more expensive to keep things along the historic guidelines, and people say that all the time. They're like, well, it's going to cost me a lot more to put in double hung windows as to put the sliders that are off the shelf at Home Depot. And we're like, well, that's not a part of what we do. And then the other thing that I think you'll need to just think about this. What we're supposed to be paying attention to is aesthetics. So when you look at the house, and what when you look at the deck that they want to put on this, and just try to picture this. So you're going to see a big empty square, right? Because there's going to be wires that you really can't see.
Okay.
As opposed to seeing nice pickets that come and tie the house together. And that's another thing. You know, we're not supposed to worry about codes or anything like that. The only thing that we're supposed to worry about is how it's going to look from the street view. So that's another thing that we take into consideration when we make our votes.
Well, Mr. Sky, you said you're concerned with how it looks from the street view, but the deck is on the back of the house, not visible from the street.
And then we get back to the same thing where we have to remain consistent in the front and the back, because then the next thing you know, we're approving slider windows in the back, and then we're okay with the double hungs in the front, and then they start getting moved. You see where I'm going with that?
Oh, yeah.
So we have to, the windows that are in the book that we're supposed to approve every time and deny the other ones, then we're doing this front to back thing. Well, then that opens up a whole nother thing. So we're trying to keep consistency in the board. And that's
setting
why
precedence.
That's why we are currently trying to get together. It's been tough for our board to revise what you have there. I don't know if you have the whole books, but and you'll see it goes through fencing, walls, etc., etc. So that's it.
Further questions by the board? Thank you, Mr. Sky. If you have anything further, is there anyone else to speak for the DRB?
I can get up and say something.
Yes. Come over to the microphone,
yes, sir.
Please. Raise your hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing about the truth?
I do.
Do you state your name, spell your last name, please?
Todd Conklin, C-O-N-K-L-I-N.
Okay, tell us what you want to tell us.
I just kind of want to reiterate on what Mr. Sky was saying. The reason why I got onto the design review board is I want to make positive changes in Old Bisbee. And what I think what the board doesn't want to see is we will have 10 houses that are all of historic value, whether they're contributing or non-contributing, and then you'd have one house that, you know, could be anywhere in the country. So it's bad precedence, I think, for other people that are going to be working on their houses that are going to be putting in applications, if, you know, the neighbor is being able to do what they want to do. And I also feel that the DRB and your board and the Board of Adjustments should be working closer together, because I think sometimes stuff can fall through the cracks. And that's the reason why me and Mr. Sky are here today, so that maybe we could build a better relationship with you guys as far as I think what the board is expecting.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You have any questions?
We are down our chair right now. So we're kind of in limbo with members, but in the meantime, you know, me and John came in on our time here today just to kind of express the feelings of the board. So I really hope that you take this into consideration.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Anyone else to speak for the DRB? Mr.
Joe Ward, W-A-R-D.
All right. Why not? Yeah. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing about the truth?
I do.
You state your name, spell your last name.
Joel Ward, W-A-R-D.
Okay, Mr. Ward, what's the position of the city?
I was listening to these things that are being said, and I want you guys to understand that non-contributing homes, very many of them in the district, are able to become contributing by being brought closer and closer to the standards. While Mr. Plunkett's example is an extreme example of it. And there was no residential district when that house was built, is why it was allowed. But the residential historic district. But there's other contributing homes that house is never going to be contributing. But the precedence is that a non-contributing home can become contributing, and the city, we try to encourage that. We don't want, that John said that from the street. It's not really just from the street only. We don't want that Disneyland standard of it looks like this on the front, it looks like a warehouse on the back, or a modern house on the back. But that would be considered an intrusion. So I want you guys to understand that while it does say that in the design standards, what Mr. Plunkett said, and that's good evidence, you know, towards what he would like, but also understand that the design standards of the Bisbee Historic District, which is where that comes from, it derives its authority from the zoning code. So the zoning code has precedence over that, and the zoning code does say that no non-contributing building or structure may be added on or altered in any way unless the proposed addition or alteration will bring the whole to a higher degree of conformity with the design components of the district. But now, that it may not matter so much on this house, but it will on other houses by setting that precedent. It's going to matter that we didn't take them further away from the standards of which they can be contributing, and that's what I just wanted to let you guys know.
Let me ask, is it more likely that someone wants to alter their home in some way that they're going to look at the city code or look at the design review guidelines?
I think that the guidelines should be much closer to what the zoning code is, but they're going
to
look at the design.
They seem to be inconsistent with what you indicated with the city code.
What then?
The guidelines don't seem to be consistent with what you said.
I agree. I agree 100% with you that they need to be revised.
Why are we writing them?
All right. Yeah, it does say no non-conforming building or structure may be added to or altered in any way unless the proposed addition or alteration will bring the whole to a higher degree of conformity with design components of the district. So the idea is even if you got a house that doesn't fit, if you put a picket, if you use the picket, it's going to look closer to its neighbors than if it didn't. And if you, throughout the community, if you hold that standard, everything that's done will be more in conformance with the way we want our neighborhoods to look.
In Old Bisbee. DRB is for Old Bisbee.
Right. Was this in Old Bisbee?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone else have further questions? And you see. All right. Let's see. Where are we then? Mr. Plunkett, this is your opportunity to rebut anything you came forward to. I'm assuming there's no further comments from the other side.
No, sir.
You're still under oath, sir.
I'm under oath. So, anyways, like I said before, you know, we were going in willing to go with the pickets where you could see them, but now we're not because we're all here and everything's here. And the minority of the DRB is what shut me down, and the minority is the only people that are here today. The rest of them, they're not. So anyways, just sticking to the letter of the rules that I have, and if they're revising stuff, it's not revised as of yet. Going to let some people tell homeowners what they can do with their home with their own decisions that the rules haven't been made yet, then that's the way it is, and I'll have to accept that, and that's it. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Assume we don't have comments from the public? Oops, in the agenda? All right, then let's move along to discussion of the issues among the board members, and this being public. Basically, I view our duty as to either grant or deny the appeal. If we grant the appeal, then we would the wire fencing would be allowed, and if we deny the appeal, then it would not be allowed. Are there any comments? Does anyone want to discuss this?
Yes. Comments? I think I appreciate the concern about setting precedent and preserving historic aesthetic in Old Bisbee. But I want to go with the facts that we're dealing with. The house was built in 1988. It's a non-contributing property. I don't think we can assume that it's not conforming in any way. It's not contributing historic, but it was an approved structure at the time. The proposed design for the horizontal cables as a handrail are consistent with the aesthetic for a house built in the late 80s. It's meets code requirements in terms of safety and structure. So I think based on that, and the other thing is because the current design guidelines say that on page 15, as was pointed out, another renovation concern is that you want to keep the materials and design consistent with the era that the structure was built in. So this house was built in the 80s. I think the design is proposed by the homeowner is consistent with that. It's not an unpleasant aesthetic. So I'm going to make a motion that we grant the appeal, approve the appeal.
Who's second?
I'll second the motion.
All right, we'll have further discussion. Is it anyone else have something to say?
Yeah, I really think that if we can make even a home like this look more like the homes in the area, that it just makes the whole neighborhood more community look better. And I don't know what the difference is cost is from one to the other. Nobody brought that forth as evidence. They just said it costs a lot more. But I can't imagine that it would be excessive. But that's how I feel. That's the way I approach my home.
Other comments? Let me say that what I'm looking at here is what the person, a member of the general public looks at when he wants to alter his home. He looks at the design review guidelines, basically. And the guidelines are quite clear that if your home, basically, even though it's non-contributing, was built at a certain time, you can have a non-contributing addition to it, even though it doesn't meet the historical guidelines. I think if we were, I'm in favor, frankly, of granting the appeal, and I'll tell you why. Not only because of the inconsistency, but if we denied the appeal, I don't think the guidelines are going to be changed. I think the guidelines need to be changed, and that basically the DRB just needs to follow the guidelines rather than what the members of the DRB feel about it. So it's an opportunity here. It feels like it's probably the appeal is going to be granted. What I'm sensing is that the DRB then, the members of that, could ask the city to alter the guidelines as to what you'd have. Think would be appropriate, and the city council then could enact whatever is necessary for that. Are there any further comments or questions?
I think there are a few of us that would be willing to work with the DRB as they begin to do this, because what we keep getting is the aftermath of this and having to make a difficult decision. So perhaps being in the loop a little earlier while we're making new considerations, I'd be willing. I'm sure there's others.
It's in the works.
It's on our agenda.
If there's nothing further, all in favor of the motion indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
All right, the motion passes 4-1. The appeal is granted. Mr. Plunkett, you may have to talk with the city regarding what your next step is here. So,
I'm building.
Yeah, I think I don't know if anything further needs to be done, but I would check with the city.
Thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
Yeah, nothing further. Meeting's adjourned.
So, we can speak off the record now, right?
Hang on just a minute.